The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station. This segment is brought to you by Carbach. From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz. Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
The call on the early goal, the Subban goal, was garbage. That completely changed the momentum of the game.
The only thing I can think of is in Toronto, where they look at all this stuff, they had a really good HD look that we didn't get to see. Because if they didn't, that was a horrible call to overturn, because there's just no way to tell. That changed the whole thing, and it goes from Nashville dominated most of the game.
Basically 80% of the game.
Pittsburgh went 37 minutes without a shot on goal.
Do you think some of the attendance woes are due to the move to the American League West?
The National League Central had two national brand teams. People would go to those games because there are Cubs and Cardinals fans here.
Not only that, though, you had legitimate rivalries there. The Astros and Cardinals were playing in the playoffs almost every year. But that developed into a hell of a division where you always were battling those teams. You don't have that here. Even now, the Rangers are the closest thing. But to be honest, the Rangers aren't the Cardinals.
Here's Fred, AJ, and the brewmaster himself, Eric.
And we're back on the Blitz.
All right, you got the brewmaster himself.
Eric doesn't have headphones. He didn't hear it.
Oh, yeah.
I think I heard something about professor.
No, the brewmaster himself.
Oh, I was like the professor. I was like, I've never been called that. But yeah, you're the brewmeister is in the house.
You're kind of a beer professor. You're like a PhD in beer.
I've been doing it for a little while, but yeah, I don't know if I'm that level of
expertise.
So
you went to school in Germany.
Yeah.
What's the degree that you walk away with? What exactly did you go to school to study?
On the sheepskin, it says Diplom Braumeister, which basically means Diploma Brewmaster, which means I have an undergraduate degree from the German State University System as a brewmaster.
Okay, but that's by no means required to be a brewer, right?
No, absolutely not.
What made you decide to go to Germany and go through all that process?
I was a German major. I didn't know what the hell I was going to do with that. Teach kids German?
It's true.
So
I had a German teacher named Frau Krake, and I did not like her very much.
Was she like old school, like fresh out of World War II, like old lady?
She was very old, and the only reason I took German is because to graduate high school, I had to have 3 years of a foreign language. And I had taken Spanish 1 and Spanish 2 and barely survived Spanish 2. And I knew Spanish 3 would be the end of me. And I wasn't trying to deal with that my senior year. So I took German 1. And
so you can sprechen a little bit of Deutsch?
No, not really. I know how to say, like, do you want to go get some ice cream?
Yeah, that's pretty
good.
For
some reason, I remember that, but I think that's it. That's the only phrase I know. So, it did not stick with me, but that's okay. I passed.
Well, it was a great time, man. I mean, that was time of life. I lived over in Germany for 4 years. I mean, you learn more about making beer, you know, kind of off the clock, if you will, just going to breweries and checking out how they do it. But, yeah, it was a great experience, man. Really lucky to have been able to do it. So,
now, you've brought in some summer beers. It is getting to be that time of the year. It's hot outside. It is not fun to mow the lawn and drink an Imperial Stout.
You do it, though.
No.
Even you have limits?
Even I have limits. I do like stouts. And sometimes at nighttime, I will still drink a stout. But mostly in the summertime, I drink IPAs and I drink sours. So my taste does change when the weather is hot. And then about September, October, like around football season, I'll get back into pounding some stouts. But if we're having a beer share or something, I'm not going to turn away a stout and be like, oh, no, it's too hot outside today. I'm good.
Yeah, if you're inside and it's air conditioned, you know, right. Yeah, you'll drink anything.
But
stronger.
No one wants to like sit out at a ball game in the summer heat drinking a stout. That's no fun.
You know. AJ, first time ever. I did my first ever, been in Texas 6 years, did my first ever river float this weekend.
Nice. What river?
The Guadalupe.
Okay.
And
we just call it the Guadalupe here.
The Guadalupe. Yeah. Oops. Yep. There I go. Showing my colors. But I could not believe, like, there was no craft beer on that river.
No.
I mean, it was all, like, domestics, a lot of, like, Mike's Hard Lemonade.
Like, Shinerbach is the craft that you can get out there.
And I thought of you, like, how you like to float the river with Hop Delusion. I had instant respect.
Yeah.
Because it was, I mean, even though you're cool sitting in the water there, it's freaking hot out.
It is hot. But, unfortunately, Hop Delusion will not be ready for my river trip this week or this year.
It won't. You're going, I think, in a week,
this
weekend. Yeah,
this weekend,
man. You're going to miss Hop Delusion by like 2 weeks.
That's brutal.
I know. But it'll be nice and fresh waiting for you when you get back.
All right.
It's coming out. But yeah, we got the Love Street today. Our fastest growing beer. It will probably actually overtake Hopadillo in sales sometime later this summer. I think it's kind of has something to do with the nature of the Texas market in the summer. And then, of course, you're sipping on the Weekend Warrior Pale Ale, delicious American-style pale ale. Kind of use the Sierra Nevada as a, that's the benchmark reference for that. And lots of good dry hops in there. That's actually 80% of the guys at the brewery, that's what they're drinking.
This is what they're crushing when it's hot out.
All year long.
All year long.
That is like the working guy's beer at the brewery.
Now, you guys' flagship is still Hopadillo. Is that still considered the flagship?
Yes.
Is that what you guys sell the most of?
Yes.
Okay, but Love Street is catching up.
Love Street's good. It's almost, they're neck and neck. So,
but you guys don't have a cool mascot for Love Street.
I know. It's like, how would you mascot that? I don't know. Maybe, yeah.
It could be a Hopadillo monster having sex with someone else.
Hey, I'll talk to DG about that, man. He might be down with that.
Two Hopadillo monsters making love.
A threesome. A threesome with, another character as well.
A Jesus stoner.
I like it.
I think here's the idea. Love Street, you have a roadkill Hopadillo, but because it's Love Street, the male Hopadillo is still getting some from the runover course.
Well, there's a zombie angle you could play there.
You could do that too.
I mean, we got oodles of possibilities with this.
Yeah. And zombies, that plays well in beer. People get into that.
Oh, no doubt. Yeah. I mean, that's the craft beer and zombies, and it just all goes hand in hand.
Yeah, anything with like the dark arts, people buy into that. So this Love Street with the flowers and stuff, that's never gonna last.
It's a happy beer.
If you want it to be the big seller, we've got to figure something new out.
We got to go darker, man.
Yeah, let David know. we've got to make some changes. Last time we talked, the beer bill was going to a vote, and we talked about how craft beer, big and small, was against this bill. And really the only people it helps, I guess, is like the Silver Eagles of the world, the distributors who, and for people who didn't hear the last interview, we talked about, so Carbach would have to make their beer, sell their beer to the distributor, and then buy it back to sell in their own bar, which is ridiculous to me, but the bill passed.
In a modified form, we were able to get grandfathered in as I'm assuming breweries like Oscar Blues and Revolver were too, where that doesn't apply to your existing facility. So we can now, under this law, the way I understand it, it looks like it's going to be signed, we could open two more facilities.
Okay.
If we did that, we would have to do that dance where the distributor would come pick it up and deliver it back to us. But out of our current location, it looks like we can keep our barrelage capacity and we can just, roll the beer.
So it's not worst case scenario then?
No, but it's still bad.
Okay.
It's
How's it going to hinder you?
Well, it hinders, one of the principal arguments that the Craft Brewers Guild brought forward was that it sort of limits the valuation that folks can look for their breweries. Like if, somebody wanted to partner up with another out-of-state brewery, they might be like, well, geez, if you can only do, X thousand barrels out of your tap room, you're not as valuable as a business. So, it's just still kind of a win for the distributors. I mean, AJ, one thing that became abundantly clear to me thinking about this, legal weed, it ain't ever going to happen in Texas. Because
probably
these
not.
Beer distributors, they will be the guys to kill it. They are extremely powerful. And, you know, if they're that afraid of a couple of little craft breweries, which, you know, we continue to argue are good marketing for beer overall, impacting their business, God, what will they think about that?
So. Fred is disappointed by that news. And then everyone, I saw everyone saying, Greg Abbott, please veto. Greg Abbott is not going to help anyone with beer.
No.
Greg Abbott thinks beer is it's the devil's juice. He's not going to help anybody with that kind of stuff. That's sort of the backward thinking in this state. But I'm glad to hear that it's not going to be like a death knell to the whole industry. The way it sounded, I mean, when it was presented, that's the way it sounded, was like, if this passes, it's over for people selling beer in their own place.
But the real bummer, AJ, like we talked about a couple weeks ago, is what this means is, you know, one of the big asks that craft beer had this session was the ability to be able to sell beer to go with the production license. And that, you know, did not happen. You know, this is a win for the distributors. Sure, in 2019, maybe the craft brewers bring that up again, but I think it's going to be a while before that happens. And, you know, there's so many others, just like with gambling and other things. You know, you go one state away, and you can buy beer to go,
yep.
But not in Texas. It's crazy.
Oh, you could buy beer at a drive-thru one state away.
Yeah.
they've got liquor in the convenience
store. Grocery
store,
yeah. Gas stations, yeah.
Yeah.
So you go, oh, I gotta go to the grocery store. I need milk, eggs, and a fifth of Grey Goose. Done. No big deal. Meanwhile, you can't buy liquor or you can't buy beer before noon on a Sunday here. You can't buy cooking wine before noon on a Sunday at HEB. Absurd. How'd you guys the music festival go last week?
Really, really well. Yeah, great. We had great attendance. You know, there was a threat of rain that weekend. We ended up with about 1,200 people through. We were looking for 2,000, but honestly, we said to ourselves, had it been like 1,700, that probably would have been a little crowded. So it was good enough that we're going to do it again next year. We got some other fun stuff happening at the Beer Garden restaurant in June. We're going to have a lot of Father's Day specials, you know, weekend of and week before. And then on June 21st, we're going to have a beer dinner, kind of a Father's Day beer dinner. So any of you out there who want to buy your dad something really cool, stay tuned to our, you know, website and our Facebook page. We'll have more details forthcoming on that. But it's kind of what's going on in June at the brewery. It gets a little quieter, you know, going into summer. You know, the restaurant's a great place to come, get out of the heat, go into the AC, try some of the awesome food that our chef prepares fresh every day. Great spot. You guys are coming out there pretty soon, yeah?
I think so.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
We've got a date scheduled. What's the latest on the barley wine release?
Barley wine release is
looking 016?
016. And we're calling it Nigel because it's an English-style barley wine. Wanted to come up with some kind of dorky-sounding English name. So that's next up. We're probably releasing that late June, something like that. So that's going to be a good one. And then we've got a Goza coming up pretty soon. And then, yeah, your favorite, the Hop Delusion.
Yes.
Shortly.
Yes.
Like I say, you get back from the river, and I think we'll have some draft ready for you.
All right. That'll work. That is Eric Warner, the brewmaster at Carbach Brewing. If you're out and about, you need to hit up the restaurant. And if you can't make it to the restaurant, pick up your favorite Carbach mainstay or seasonal at your favorite gas station, grocery store, or bar, wherever it may be sold, which is pretty much all over the city. Appreciate it, man. We'll talk to you in a couple weeks.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
And all my favorite beers they have on tap there at the restaurant.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can get whatever.
Well, you can get a lot more than you can get, you know, at the grocery stores.
Right, absolutely.
They got stuff that you can't, that's not even kegged sometimes. Or that's not even canned sometimes.
And I'm having the Here Comes the Sun for the first time, and I have to say, very impressed.
That is good.
Yeah,
that's all. That Weekend Warrior, the rest of this six-pack is going to make it to the river with me.
That's a good call. That's one of my go-tos.
That, and I'm going to stop, and I'm going to pick up some of that Big and Bright that's going to go out there with me, too. So I'll be taken care of. I just won't be as drunk as I normally am on the river. Or I'll have to drink more.
Have to drink more.
Yeah.
Yeah, just got to raise your game a little bit. Well, you know what goes great with beer? Steak. And dads love steak. And if you're looking for the perfect gift for Father's Day, maybe your dad loves to grill but hates the hassle and poor quality at the grocery store and you got to go to all this mess. Well, I'm telling you what, man, Omaha Steaks has you covered. They sent we got this package, and I'll tell you what, it's amazing what you're going to get for only $59.99. It makes the perfect Father's Day gift. Omaha Steaks, this Father's Day, for only $59.99, you can get our limited Father's Day package when you go to omahasteaks.com and enter Fred in the search bar to apply the savings. And here's what you're going to get. Limited time offer just for the Blitzers. This is really an amazing deal. You're going to get 68% off Omaha Steaks Father's Day's packages, which includes your choice of either a huge 30-ounce T-bone or 4 6-ounce tender filet mignons. I went with the filet mignon. 4 all-beef Omaha Steaks ground beef sliders. 4 award-winning gourmet jumbo franks. Those were fantastic. Had those the other night. 4 potatoes au gratin. A 2-pound premium New York cheesecake. A jar of signature steak seasoning. Plus, how about this? Just for the Blitzers, 4 additional ground beef sliders for free. Again, get this limited-time package for only $59.99 when you go to omahasteaks.com, type Fred in the search bar, and add a Father's Day package to your cart. Don't wait. This offer will end soon. Go to omahasteaks.com, type Fred in the search bar, grab your dad, and fire up the grill.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Sometimes the best conversations are the ones that we have off air. We ought to just save those at some point. And we should do like an off-air thing when we have people like Eric in here who we're just having fun conversations off, you know, or that we don't go out over the air. Although, yeah. I thought the segment was great, just from a personal standpoint. A lot of love for Love Street from the Texas.
People love, the ladies love that beer. That's a beer that the chicks can dig into.
I'm telling you, like a totally stoned looking Jesus on there would be awesome. Like a Bob Marley Jesus. That would be perfect for Love Street. So there's so many good beers. I've been telling people, and nobody buys them, so I stop by twice a week. The downtown spec still has a good golly Miss Molly. I pick up a couple every 4 days, so I'll be stopping on the way home again to grab two more.
Yeah, my store does not have them. Yeah. I've grabbed my share.
I have probably bought about 30 of them by now.
I wish I could still find was that Kentucky Habit. That was
that is maybe the best beer I've ever had.
That's the best beer I think the Carbox brewed. And
confession time, I was in a restaurant up north about a month ago meeting somebody for dinner, and they actually had it. It was like $48. It was worth every penny.
Yeah?
Yeah. So that was my dinner drink, was a Kentucky Habit.
Nice.
But as soon as I saw that, I'm like, I don't care. I don't care what the price is. You could have put a one in front of it, I would have bought it. But that's because I spend money on weird things. Do we have the sound up on the TV?
Yeah. I'm hearing the Dodgers.
Yeah. Team. How did that happen?
Jong dropped the ball.
So you want to talk about this Cowboys guy?
We could do that. Actually, no, we can't because I shut down that story. I'll find it again, though. Don't you worry.
All right.
Just give me a minute.
Okay. I got to say, this is the first time I've had this. This is I almost bought some the other day. I was in a bar that had it, and then they had something else that I wanted instead. But this Here Comes the Sun's really good. This is my kind of beer. This will probably be my summer beer now.
All right, I got it here. Nolan Carroll. Let's see. Yeah,
I like to call him Nolan.
Well, that's his name, so that works. He's the newest Cowboys cornerback. Was arrested on suspicion of DWI following a welcome party celebrating his arrival in Dallas. They stopped Carroll early Monday morning for driving on the wrong side of the road.
Oh, God. That was one hell of a welcome party.
He was arrested after failing a field sobriety test, released Monday evening after paying his $500 bond. He was arrested near the club that hosted the party that welcomed him to Texas. He signed a 3-year deal with Dallas back in March And the Cowboys issued a statement on Tuesday saying the team is, quote, aware of the situation and gathering information at this time. As for Carroll, he also released a statement via Snapchat, which I'm not a Snapchatter, so I didn't see this.
Yeah, I mean,
if I had Snapchat, I would not follow Nolan Carroll.
But we do have Snapchat on ESPN 97.5. I don't know if we ever use it, but we have a Snapchat.
Who's our Snapchatter? Who does that?
It depends on where we are.
Okay.
Usually on site.
Well, when we used to have the cute girls, they always did it.
Yeah.
And then now we don't have them anymore.
He said, everybody gets knocked down in life. Everybody bobs when they should have weaved. No exception. I don't know if that's the best way to put it after a DUI.
Very poor choice of words.
Not wise. But remember that you are responsible for how you respond to adversity. You can lay flat or you can choose to bounce back.
Just, are you bobbing or weaving when you're laying flat? I don't know.
Nolan Carroll is a definite weaver, not a bobber. He's a weaver. Weaving into the wrong damn lane of traffic. Right? Come on, bro. How are you going to put a bob and weave reference when you're trying to get people to forget about your damn Dewey?
Well, that's how you distract people from the fact that you are driving the wrong way. And weaving, I'm guessing. I don't know how many people did the Tiger Woods joke about how he hasn't driven straight for 5 years. No. I don't know how many times I saw that. 713 says, I'm in an argument with a friend. Would love y'all's opinion. What is worse, stoner wake and bake guy or drunk alcoholic guy? What if you're both? So my argument is that you don't see many successful dudes that sit around and smoke all day, but many drunks are successful.
No, I would say that... You might want to take a look at the NFL and tell me that there's not a lot of successful potheads.
I don't smoke as much as I drink, but that's only because it's not legal.
Yeah.
I mean, it's decriminalized, but
I don't like smoking because I don't like smoking. You like
edibles. I prefer to smoke it.
Like there was a time when I loved to smoke pot, but now like
I like to smoke it because I want it right away.
Yeah.
And whenever I do edibles, I do the same thing you did when you were in Colorado where
you overdose.
And I think, oh, well, it's not affecting me.
Yeah.
All right, well, I'll have another one, and then I'll go ahead and smoke some while I'm at it.
Yep. Yeah.
Just so I can get there. And then the next thing you know, I'm sitting there, I'm a freaking zombie, and just staring at the wall going, is that a cockroach or what, man? I don't know.
Yeah. I got so high that day that, like, I always laugh when I read stories about, like, why would you call the cops on yourself when you smoke too much weed? That's why people do it, because I, like, literally had thoughts of, like, man, I got to call somebody. I'm dying. I couldn't remember my kids' names. I mean, that's way too much pot.
What's bad is when you're really stoned and you're texting your kids to tell them not to do weed. Just so you guys know.
Dude, that wasn't me. I told my buddy, I was like, dude, I need you to take my phone until tomorrow. Because I can't talk to my wife like this. I was like, this is a disaster. I can barely talk. I need you to not let me text or call anyone for at least a few hours. And he did.
Did you tell him or through text?
I was with him.
Oh, did he understand you?
No, he understood me. He understood me somehow. I don't know how.
Because he speaks stoner.
Yeah.
That's why.
Meanwhile, I was like, I was 100% sure that a coyote was chasing us and making eye contact with me. Like, and we drive 2 miles away, and I was like, that coyote followed us all the way here.
It's like
I was done. I've never felt that way. Like, that's like I ate so much pot that it felt like I was doing like mushrooms or LSD. Like, there's a line of how much pot you can ingest to it becomes like a hallucinogen. That's where I got to.
Like, that's
what freaked me out, because I was like, I mean, I'm sitting here thinking this coyote is chasing after me. And then I'm like, but I'm still, when you're on LSD or mushrooms, you can't rationalize like, oh, but a coyote couldn't possibly be chasing me. When you're on pot, that much pot, you can think the coyote is chasing you, and then the right side of your brain will say, yeah, but that's impossible. How could that coyote have followed us 2 miles? I mean, he would be tired. And then you're like, But he did, because I see him right there looking at me. I mean, it is crazy.
What's worse, though, is right after that you told that story, like, I had a friend come in for the weekend who brought some edibles, and he had them measured out perfectly last time, so it was no problem. This time, he overmixed it, and so I wind up doing the same thing, and I'm sitting on my balcony, and I'm trying to explain existentialism to him and his wife, and at some point, I think I'm talking to a little person. And he's not a little person. He's like 6'6", 280. And somehow I'm explaining existentialism to a little person that doesn't exist. This is like a week after you did the same thing. So it can happen. That's why I just stick with smoking now.
Yeah.
Because now I'm going to go home and get stoned. All right, quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Of course, Swan is binging House of Cards, so she's not listening to us today.
She made her choice.
I'm so out on House. I ejected after season three. It was so awful. I started Billions this weekend. Watched three episodes.
Okay.
By the way, Sunday night's Leftovers was garbage.
Really?
I'm so ready for that show to be over with.
I like that show.
You know what's going to happen? In the end, he's going to be in a damn mental hospital, and Patty's going to be his therapist.
But Patty's dead.
Uh-huh. Yeah, Patty's died how many times in this freaking show? That was so awful. Not only did it jump the shark, it bent the shark over and had its way with it.
Oh, I like that show.
Oh, that show sucks. I can't believe I watched another year of it.
No, you're wrong.
No, the first episode this year was awesome. And then there's been one other good one. The rest of them have been just absolute garbage. I'm glad we're down to one. But I watched it. Everybody raved about Billions. I'm three episodes in, and I'm on the fence. It's good. The acting's fantastic. The story itself is pretty boring. So I'm not really sure. So those of you who have watched the whole thing, please tell me that episode four will give me that holy bleep moment that makes me keep watching. Santos says, I love Fred and AJ Weed stories, but don't remember hearing any Jong stories. I don't think Jong does weed.
Not as often as you two.
Well,
I've done synthetic stuff, and that had me tripping.
Synthetic?
Yeah.
You talking about like they do in Florida before they eat like people's faces?
Like the K2 stuff?
Oh, yeah. Synthetic stuff.
I did that one time, did nothing for me.
Oh, I was tripping balls. I was like watching, I was watching a basketball game. I think it was like Lakers versus Heat or something. And I was watching it, and I was like, man, Lamar Odom decided to play right-handed today. That's so cool. And I was like, and then I told myself, no, he's left-handed. But why is he shooting right-handed? What the hell's going on? And then I passed out for a few hours, woke back up, and I was still tripping balls. I would never do that ever again.
I would also make a suggestion. If you're watching American Gods, it's much better stoned.
Okay.
Because some of the cinematography starts making sense.
And I think I told the story about the rodeo incident this year, didn't I? We were at the rodeo this year for Alicia Keys, and we did.
Oh yeah,
yeah. I did that. I think I told that on air.
Yeah, you
I
did. Had a, you did.
I had a little edible before we actually went out there, and before that, I like chugged a bunch of wine and shots, which, you know, note to anybody younger out there, don't do that.
No. Don't mix them.
No. No, very bad decision. But and then I had an edible. My buddy had an edible. I ate one of those. Actually took two of them because I thought one wouldn't be enough. And then by the time we get there, I'm sweating profusely. And we went up to NRG and I had massive, you know, number two. And then I felt like I needed to throw up, ate something, passed out for about 30 minutes during the concert, woke up for her really popular songs, passed back out, and we were walking down from NRG, and I had to stop on the side, and I had to sit down for about 15 minutes because half our group decided to walk down instead of take the escalators, and I needed those extra 15 minutes because I couldn't move. Very bad decision on my part.
Yeah, hard times.
The worst is if I've been drinking a lot and then I get high, I wind up just I'll sit down on the couch and then I just can't move. And I'm not asleep, but I'm not really awake either. It's like my eyes are closed, but I'm not really asleep and I'm aware of everything that's going on. It's like, don't do both.
No.
832 says, no successful stoners. What about Snoop, Seth Rogen, Cat Williams, Joe Rogan? I'll throw Bill Maher on there. I'll throw Willie Nelson on there.
And what I was going to say is there's a reason why tech companies don't drug test
exactly.
for weed.
You know what? I'm going to throw one. I think I'm pretty successful.
Both of you guys are.
I think AJ's pretty successful.
Not me.
Oh, you're gonna be on Survivor. Are you kidding me?
And that's you're going to be writing for Culture Map.
Yeah.
We'll see about that. That's not official yet.
We got to plot that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's a
yeah,
secret.
Yeah, that's on the low.
Yeah, but we're gonna make it worthwhile. 713-780-ESPN is your number. Of course, we've got people. It's like you're terrible people for encouraging people.
No one's encouraging
weed.
Anyone.
No.
I was just telling people why it's a bad idea.
I think it's the same thing with gambling. It's the same thing with anything. I never encourage anybody. And it's funny because I have these conversations with my kids all the time. I'm like, listen, I don't want you guys drinking or smoking weed or doing any of that stuff. But if you're going to do it, let's talk about it. You know, I don't want my kids' first experience with weed to be some crap that their friends gave them if that's what they decide to do.
That's what every kid's first experience should be.
Well, no, I think, you know, I would.
No one should get chronic their first time. That's.
Well, I also think that would teach him a lesson.
That's how you grow up to be like Rob Kardashian.
But you know what? To be fair,
it's
both.
Not fair.
Neither of my kids have expressed any interest in it, and I believe them.
You're serious? You believe them?
Yeah, because I've told them, man.
You think neither of them have even tried it?
No, because I've told them 100 times. If you're going to try it.
Your son's in college, Fred. Are you?
Yeah, but he's a dork.
Doesn't matter.
He's like a real dork. I mean,
even dorky kids try pot while they're in college.
No, I'm just telling you, I will get them better stuff than they would get from their friends, and I've told them that. So, if you're going to do it, do the good stuff. I don't have to be there for it. Just I'll, and then you tell me about it later. But neither of them have expressed interest, and I've told them I don't want you doing it. But my kids talk to me about stuff. I mean, I feel like we got a pretty good relationship that way, and that. You know, they tell me what's going on in their lives, and I feel like we have, yeah, I don't judge them, and they certainly don't judge me for all my crap.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, I believe your son, because I didn't get drunk or high until I was 22.
No, but my son is, and I kid him about being a dork.
What kind of weird guys are you? I mean, what's going on?
They grew up differently than we did. You and I grew up with that stuff all around us all the time. They kind of grew up a little more, I would say a little more protected. And not really. Now, I think my daughter's a little more exposed to things because she's a little more.
Because she's a girl.
Yeah.
So dudes are going to be putting that stuff in her face.
All right. You guys will get to meet her next week because she's going to spend a few days with me. So I was going to bring her in for the show.
Okay.
So.
I'll bring some pot for her.
In exchange for a sword.
Yeah. By the way, though, I wasn't. I'm not encouraging anyone to do anything.
And I feel like we're telling horror stories about this stuff.
That's like saying, like if I told a story about jerking off with sandpaper and it ended up with me bleeding everywhere, you can't say, oh, why are you encouraging people? No, it's the opposite of encouraging.
You've done that too?
No, but I'm just letting people know that the story I told was not a great, it wasn't some glamour story about pot. It was where I ate too much pot and couldn't remember my kids' names. It's not a like, normally people don't go, oh, I'd really love to do that in my life. Like, no, that's not an encouraging story.
713 said, Fred, that's what every parent says. No, not really. I know a lot of parents who just order their kids around and tell them what to do and what not to do, and that's not going to be me. I feel like as long as I'm open and honest with them and they're open and honest with me, we're cool. And there's stuff that they're not going to tell me, but it's not going to be about things like that. And really, who would you rather get your first weed from? Somebody who has really good weed or one of your classmates where you have no idea where it came from? It's probably up some guy's butt in Mexico. Just saying.
Yeah.
It's just me.
I'd rather just steal it out of my mom's drawer.
Well, there's that.
All right, guys. I got to tell you about, in case you missed a segment about Carbach. And we're excited to have him on board with us. Like we said, we're going to be doing live broadcasts all throughout the year there. And we're going to continue to have Eric in here for these beer segments. And if you haven't made it out to the restaurant, you got to get out there. They're open 7 days a week for lunch and dinner. They've got a crazy good menu. Buttermilk fried chicken is out of this world. The fish tacos are really good. I always like the fish and chips, the vice versa, battered fish and chips. And they all pair well with your favorite Carbach brew, and they've got a ton of them on the wall there, like we were saying. And whatever you're into, the mainstay or seasonal that you enjoy, get out there and find it. Eric brought in the Love Street today and the Weekend Warrior and some Here Comes the Sun. It's all available all over the city. Summertime is here. Those are the beers Eric's recommending for summertime beers, and I got to agree with him. So wherever you're out, at a bar, a restaurant, a gas station, a grocery store, make sure to pick up your favorite Carbach beer there. And like I said, get out and check out the brewery and the restaurant while you're at it. And you can always find more information, including directions, at CarbachBrewing.com. It's Carbach, CarbachBrewing.com.
Howdy, Houston. Dave South here. Sports!
Sports!
Rico says he didn't drink until he was 22 and didn't smoke until years later. It's very possible. And said, yeah, my parents never told me to come to them on bleep like that. Every parent does not say that. Well, I'll say this. I know my ex doesn't talk to him about stuff like that. She just tells him, don't do it. I know that there's temptation out there.
Of course.
But to be fair, I think they grew up a little, just like John did, grew up a little differently than you and I did, where that stuff was everywhere. And 214 says, I'm 23, and I think people my generation would lie more about sex than about alcohol and drugs if they have understanding parents. And admittedly, with a daughter, I'd be more uncomfortable with that conversation than talking about weed or alcohol.
Okay. Would you rather find out your daughter was sexually active or doing hard drugs?
Well,
not weed, like coke or
heroin.
Yeah,
I'm not worried about her ever doing hard drugs, but that's – so it's not really a fair comparison. I'd be – but I don't know that that's a conversation I could have with her.
Either way.
The same way I could have with her talking about weed or alcohol. That's
– yeah.
If we're talking about – yeah, I honestly don't believe she'd ever do any kind of hard drugs, but – you never know.
I mean, I think almost every parent thinks their kid won't do hard drugs, and then lot of people do hard drugs.
No, that's not true. I think my parents expected me to be doing a lot harder drugs than I actually did.
Yeah.
I think they thought that I was probably going to be on coke and heroin and stuff, and I never went past weed. And I don't think there was any doubt in their minds, because and especially in high school, I smoked so much weed, it wasn't funny. But I never went past that. But no, I mean, I think that's a different issue, but... Yeah, you know, I think the sex conversation would be, and it's probably uncomfortable for her too. She didn't even want to tell me that she went on a date. She went to a party and she was like, we went as friends. I'm like, no, you went on a date. It's okay. You can tell me you went on a date. But, you know, that's just stuff as a parent. You try to be cool about it, but that's a conversation that would be harder for me than talking about drugs or alcohol.
Yeah, I mean, it's all...
if you had a daughter, I think you'd understand that.
I think any dad, no dad wants to talk to his daughter about her having sex, I would guess.
No.
I don't have a daughter, but I'm just assuming.
And that's one where I'd kind of hope that mom would have that conversation.
That's mom's job for sure. 100% mom's job. But
if not...
The way you talk about it, like, maybe you're the parent that's more approachable about things like that.
Well, maybe, and... You know, and frankly, I think I would trust Val to have that conversation with her. And I think they would be okay with that. But, you know, that's, you don't want to have to think about these things because, I mean, she's 15 years old. But she's also as much, I mean, she's.
I mean, I was having sex when I was 15, and I was, guess who I was having it with? 15-year-old girls.
Dude, I was having sex when I was 12, okay? I mean, this is not, you know, I get it, but it's also. And what scares me is she has a lot of my better qualities, but she's a lot like me.
Yeah.
And I'd like to think she's like me without all the bad stuff, but you never know, man.
Usually,
I mean,
well, Maybe so.
I mean, that's
maybe
my hope.
She learned a life lesson from you.
I hope so. Because that's one thing I've tried to do is, man, I've been really honest with them about when I've effed up, okay? And told them, just like my dad was with me. My dad was extremely straight with me about a lot of things he did. And we had a great relationship because of it, and I felt like I could tell him anything and that we could have great conversations about stuff. And even then, if I was going to smoke weed, I would say, Dad, yeah, I'm smoking weed. And we had a great relationship that way, and I've tried to be that way with my kids. I don't know if it's worked out or not. But I feel like I trust them, and they trust me. And that's a pretty good place to be. And if they're lying to me, okay. But I don't think they are.
Right.
They're both really good kids. Because this is a new format of the Hey Man Bleep That. I do have a Hey Man Bleep That. Do we have time? Or are we too late?
No, we're too late.
Sorry. I just, you know, sometimes we talking about important life stuff here.
When I was doing my prep today, guess what I did?
You did one?
That.
No. I did a dumbass report because I thought it was Monday.
God.
I mean, I guess it's better to do more work than necessary than less, because sometimes happens. I'm like, oh, I forgot that was today.
Honestly, it was so funny. Well, Jules says, have Beth from Darlingway to talk to your daughter about dating. I'm actually going to get those two together at some point. We're going to have lunch because I think they'd get along. But, I think Jong sees my show prep. I think we got the three things on my list today, and there were like three things per segment that I had. To me, that's a good show.
Yeah.
Because if we get to five or six of those, it's an okay show. If we get to more than that, then it sucked. I'm gonna go with today's a success. John, how do you feel about today?
Today's a success. We got beer.
Yeah,
that's
true. That's always a plus.
Now I'm gonna go fill my guts with meat.
Have fun with that. All right, great job, John. Great job, AJ. Great job, Eric. Till tomorrow, stay sportsy, bitches.
ESPN 97.5.
I assume you knew.